Welcome to From Someplace New, the long-term travel podcast where Karen Bernhardt and John Sumple discuss their hows and whys, lows and highs, and lessons learned while living abroad.
Hey, we're back. Well, I'm back. Karen is not available for this little intro into what was a podcast that we did last fall. And we're going to use this as a teaser into our new format, which is John and Karen interviewing guests. So to help us transition into that mindset, we thought it would be a great idea to play an edition of a podcast, a bonus edition of a recording that we did in October with Erica Boucher of the Always Evolving podcast. So this is a great opportunity for you to get caught up if you're new, or if you're an avid listener and have listened to all of our episodes. This is just a little bit of a recap with a little few little bits of information sprinkled in. But we're really hoping that this gives you a little bit of a flavor for what we're going to be doing moving forward, which is more of an interview format than just John and Karen talking. So we hope you enjoy this episode, and the very next episode that we do will be kicked off with some of the interviews that we've been doing. We've already got three of them in the books, and we'll be rolling those out on a weekly basis beginning next Monday. So we really look forward to sharing the insights that we're learning in the things that we're developing with the interview subjects that we're working with. So we really hope you enjoy this special edition, this bonus episode with Erica. And look forward to sharing new content with you very, very soon. So sit back, relax, kick your feet up on the table, and listen to a insightful episode with Erica Boucher.
Welcome to the Always Evolving Podcast. This is a podcast for those committed to always learning, always growing, always evolving into greater, more expansive versions of themselves. It's about living the life you want to live, a life most only dream about. Let's explore the possibilities together. I'm your host, Erica Boucher. Here with John and Karen Sumple. They are best friends, digital nomads, and co-creators of an open-minded, slow travel lifestyle. They are eager to see the world and share their experiences with other dreamers and doers. And one of the reasons that I have wanted to interview you both is because this is definitely in my future. Like, I'm great. Definitely setting up the, putting all the pieces in place so that Brian and I can do that. We have one teenager that just went off to college, and we have one that is a junior, and, you know, just, yeah, these are the things I want to talk to you about.
Timing is right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like, there, I'm sure that there were some things that had to fall into place in a certain order for you to really be able to make that leap. So I want to find out about all of that, but also we were supposed to do this interview several months ago, I think back in early March, and then COVID hit, and
along came COVID.
Yeah. And that changed everything for everybody. And we just had to slam the brakes. I had a bunch of yoga group travel trips planned. I had a full trip going to Peru, which I had to postpone. I had a trip going to Jamaica, which had to be postponed. Like, so suddenly my whole life became about that. Anyway, fast forward, and we're finally catching up and finally doing this interview.
Coming out of the weeds, so to speak.
It's been a crazy 7 months for sure.
When we were going to do our podcast interview, when we were originally scheduled to do this back in March, you were in Argentina at the time. Correct. Now you're in Edinburgh, Scotland, right?
Correct. Yep.
We hightailed
it out of Argentina because we were in a pretty strict lockdown there for 4.5 months. And as soon as we found a window to get out, we looked for a place that would accept U.S. citizens. We had a quarantine here for 2 weeks. And then after that, we were fine. But yeah, we touched base with somebody still in Argentina a couple of weeks ago, and they said the restrictions are still in place. So we got out.
Good for that. We had big, big plans, big intentions for much, much longer time in South America. kind of had a trajectory set up for ourselves to be there at least through 2021. But obviously COVID changed all that, as it has for so many people.
Yeah, it's definitely requiring all of us to be a little more flexible and loose with our plans. I'm not sure if anybody has any plans for 6 months from now, because nobody really knows what it is.
It's not smart. No, no.
Well, so let's go back to the beginning, because I think this is really going to be a wonderful fantasy and opportunity to live vicariously through you both right now, when a lot of people are kind of stuck at home. So let's just kind of go on a little journey with the two of you. Take us on a journey with you. First of all, what made you decide to become digital nomads? Like, what made you do this?
Well, I'll go back to 1995 was our first conversation about doing something where we were on the road working and moving around, but that was just a pipe dream. And then when my dad passed away in 2002, I had a chance to speak with him a couple of weeks before he died. And he said, don't wait. You know, he said, I worked hard my whole life and I was just about to retire in a couple months. And then this happens and, you know, don't wait. And then I lost my job in 2008 and was ready to put the anchor down in South Florida for another job. And my son said, if you don't move to Seattle now, you'll never do it. You know, now's the perfect time to do it. So we made the jump. We were fortunate at that time that Karen was able to arrange to work remotely at her company that's based in South Florida. So we set the table back in 2009. Right.
Not realizing that that was creating a foundation for what we would do later with this. But
so the work from home thing was really a simple thing for us, because we had been doing that for the last, you know, 8-9 years before we jumped and started doing this. Mm-hmm. So that was the easy part for us. But the catalyst to the whole thing happening, I was having a conversation with a fraternity brother, and I was asking him, what are you doing that affords you the opportunity to travel all over Central and South America and take photos and post about all these amazing things that you're doing?
Because we were living vicariously for him, right, who was doing this already, the long-term travel lifestyle. So,
and he said, well, you could do this. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And he showed me some photos of the place that he was staying in Guatemala at the time. And he asked me, how much do you think it costs for me to rent this? And it was a two bedroom, two bath on a hillside overlooking a lake, a volcano off in the distance, a nice garden, just absolutely gorgeous, really nice place. And I was like, oh, $1,200, $1,500. And he's like, oh, no, it's only $400 a month. Mm. So the wheels started turning very quickly about low cost of living areas that would allow us to do more with less, or take advantage of the money that we were making.
Right. The affordability factor was super appealing, because I don't think we ever really thought of it that way. You always tend to think travel, especially long-term travel, that it would be very costly. And that is something that you would have to save up for, you know, months and years to do. And we kind of looked at the numbers and the possibility.
That was all, that was my motivation, 100%.
And realized that wasn't the case. Yeah.
The numbers. And when I was on I didn't even share anything with Karen initially after the first conversation I had with Scott. And after that, I got off the phone with him or off social media with him, I started doing some research. And within, you know, 24, 36 hours, I was shocked by how inexpensive it would be for us to do this. And that's when I went to Karen and I said, let me throw something at you. I just want to get your thoughts on this. And within, I think, an hour and a half, 2 hour conversation, we were both like, let's look into this. This sounds really interesting.
Yeah. Opening the door to it for sure. Yeah.
Wow. It's wonderful that you were so open-minded, Karen, because I could see in some relationships, there'd be one person who'd be adventurous and willing to go for it and take the leap, and maybe another partner who's maybe not feeling it, maybe a little bit more nervous about the whole thing. So it says a lot about your open-mindedness.
Yeah.
willing to entertain it.
Right. No, absolutely. A lot of people struggle with that. Couples, we've seen that, or within the family dynamic where they're just not all on board. So there's resistance and it's not probably going to happen the way the band leader wants it to.
Right.
But for us, we've just been, we were so in sync with the initial planning stages. And then as we've been doing this, so in sync, it's just been, we'll talk more about it, but it's been amazing in so many ways for us as individuals, as a couple, as global citizens. There's just so much.
And so Karen had reservations initially. It was more about she needed a lot of assurances about her job, about
structurally. Yes, that was more challenging for me. Like, what will this look like? And I don't want to say creating routines, but just what would the normal look, what would it look like? You know,
like what would a typical day look like? So you knew there'd be some structure to your life. I get that.
Yeah. But it wasn't enough to make me say no, or this is too scary. Let's not. I embraced it.
One thing that helped a lot is we did a scouting trip.
Yes.
We went down to Ecuador for a couple of weeks and explored Quito and Cuenca to get an idea. That was kind of what we targeted based on the research that we had done, that U.S. dollar, a lot of English speaking expats. It would be like a good kind of starting point for us. And once we were there and Karen saw that I could definitely do this, I think a lot of her considerations for or hesitations were alleviated.
Right. I agree with that.
I think the scouting trip is a really good idea because you have to dip your toe in the water and start to have a vision of what's possible. I think the reason I feel confident that this is going to happen in my future is because at one point I had spent 4 months living in the Philippines, like way up in this remote mountain village. And kind of like what you were talking about, we had this beautiful two-story loft apartment for $80 a month. And talk about living simply. And it was wonderful. There was no stress. It was just fantastic. And then, you come back to the United States and you're just bombarded with the stressors of everything that needs to be done and taken care of in order to just compete in the way that we do things here in the U.S.
Of course. Are you targeting a certain area for when you guys deploy?
Like you, I want to see the world. I mean, luckily, both Brian and I have done quite a bit of traveling, but I want to see it all. So it's hard to say.
Right. Yeah. Pin it down. Yeah. So where to start, at least. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a good approach, though, is that having the wanderlust first and then everything else.
That's the most important thing
is having two people who want to do it. You know, if you have one that's trying to kind of convince the other one, it doesn't always work out. But somebody like I didn't have to convince Karen, but there was some hesitation on my part that there were things that she would have to give up. She's an aesthete and she likes her surroundings and she likes the nesting capability of having her own place. And I thought that was going to be very hard for her.
Turns out it was actually a very good thing.
Yeah.
So tell me more about that. How are you meeting that need for yourself as a nester and as a designer?
Yeah, you know what? First of all, I love the simplicity of not being weighed down by a lot of different things and keeping things just very streamlined around me, because that's another part of my personality is I like everything just, like neat and simple. So it's really easy to do when you only have two suitcases full of things. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it is I guess the way I would explain it is the stimulation of going to new places. And before COVID, we were moving pretty quickly. Like, we would never be in an apartment, an Airbnb, for more than a month, maybe 2 months. But moving through different places, all different settings, and them being attractive places and interesting places, I would just kind of enjoy them for what they were. And also not having to be burdened by keeping everything just so. So I was able to just let that go, because I used to be somebody who would get worked up about a nick in the wall or, a scratch on the refrigerator door or something like that. Well, now it just doesn't matter. So it's actually been very interesting and surprising how freeing that's been.
Yeah, you don't realize how much we get tied down by stuff. And
oh, absolutely.
And I absolutely get the whole minimalist movement. I feel like I'm a minimalist at heart. Mm-hmm. And I think that works well with wanderlust, because you can go and sure.
They go hand in hand. Yeah.
Yeah.
In order to do it where you have the ability to move whenever you want. If you like, we've talked about this before on our podcast, that we usually don't plan ahead more than like a week or two before we go to someplace different, whether it's a country or a new city. We don't spend a lot of time. And the reason why we don't plan too far ahead is because what if we go someplace and we really like it? We want to have the ability to stay longer.
The option. Yeah.
You know, so we did that in Mexico a couple of different times. We extended our stay in San Miguel de Allende. We did it in Mexico City. We did it in Peru. We stayed way beyond the visa in Peru and had to pay a minor penalty to do that. But more than happy to do it, because it's more about the journey for us than it is to ticking. It's not about ticking boxes. Mm-hmm. We've approached this, and we keep being asked by everyone that we know, when are you coming home? And there's no desire. There's especially
we have no end date. Yeah. We may do this until we can, basically.
Whether health or finances, mm-hmm. that's the only thing that we really believe that would stop us from doing, you know, what we're doing.
We have no intention.
Yeah. It is just moving forward, not going back. And that's not a knock on where we came from, because we are.
Although these days it may be. We can talk about that. But yes.
Yeah, we will. I do want to ask you about that in a little while.
Yeah.
But it has been something that we're both on the same page and that we're excited about it. And we're looking forward to, you know, what's next. We're definitely present when we're where we are, but that's home. So right now, home is anywhere.
Make that home.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about travel is it makes it a lot easier to stay present, because everything is fresh and everything is new. And so I totally get not planning that far ahead, you know, waiting to see where life is taking you, where the energy is flowing and going with that. So,
yeah, I get so much more reward out of just being nimble the way we are and just open to, you know, what's around the corner for us. It's just endlessly stimulating. I just can't stress it enough.
Yeah. I've listened to some of your stories, by the way. I have enjoyed your podcast very much, and I definitely want to give a shout out to that. It's called, let's see, From Someplace New, SUMPLACE, From Someplace New. We'll mention that again at the end, but it is a great podcast. So anybody who is a wannabe digital nomad and is thinking, maybe I'll do that, or maybe I won't do that, but I still want to live vicariously through them, it's very good. And I highly recommend it. And so the next question I have for the two of you is, what has been the most surprising and unexpected part of this whole experience for you?
Well, there's probably a few things. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, one surprise was how quickly Karen got into it for me. I was expecting it to be a gradual thing, but it was a matter of like one month. And she embraced it.
Yeah,
very,
I was
very
sold
quickly.
Pretty early on.
Mm-hmm. But the they're really one of the things that, and we've talked to people who have done this, and there have been people who started a journey and then had to go back home for a variety of reasons. Some people thought they were going to be able to, you know, create a business on the go, and it didn't work out, so they had to, you know, fold up their tent posts and go back home. We have been fortunate, knock on wood, that I don't want to say everything's been easy, because getting out of Argentina wasn't necessarily easy. It's a lot of planning to get out, but it has been no obstacles, nothing that we couldn't overcome. There's been some hurdles thrown our way, but we've jumped over.
Well, and we always have the mindset, I credit ourselves with that, the mindset that we'll figure it out, that, mm-hmm. you know, whatever challenges come our way, that they won't be insurmountable, that this is something that's worth fighting for. And if there's some blips along the way, which they really, what I'd call blips or minor blips. It's worth pursuing it. And
speed bumps, not roadblocks.
Yeah, exactly. But surprising. Okay, so
I would say that we've gone, one of the reasons why it hasn't been, there's been surprises when you go into different cultures. It might not have been what you were expecting. Mm-hmm. But we've made it a point when we've had our discussions is let's not go in there with our, you know, U.S. mentality, our mindset of what we know life to be.
Too many people do that. Yeah, they compare it to what they know and then critique it based on what they know. And that's not going to work.
Yeah, and we've spent a lot of time immersing. A big part of what we're doing is instead of being a tourist, we want to be a local. And we try to integrate as much as we can into the local scene, go to the local, you know, hangouts and restaurants and find some of the local elements as opposed to, we do touristy things too, for sure.
That's sparingly.
But we don't want to be, we would rather meet somebody and wind up having dinner at their house than we would in going out to a whole bunch of touristy hotspots. This is not our vibe.
And those have been our most rewarding experiences. Yeah, most rewarding is meeting locals, traveling,
learning about their customs. Locals, Peru has been by far our favorite. I wouldn't say, by far in the sense of the way that it spoke to us. You know, Pachamama, if you're familiar with Peru, you know that. The energy of the people and the energy of the land. Is just such a powerful essence of the people more than anything is what really spoke to us when we were in Peru.
Yes, we will go back when we can. We will be back in Peru for sure.
Yeah, I have been to Peru. And as I mentioned, I was bringing a group there in September. And so if any of them are listening to this, that's just going to whet their appetites even more because we've pushed it off to September of next year.
Oh, it is a magical place.
It truly is. It truly is. And so this kind of segues into a question that I wanted to ask. And I didn't prepare you for this, so it's going to be a little bit off the cuff.
Ooh, a singer.
and I realize this depends on where you are, because everywhere it's different to survive financially in Europe than it is in Peru, for example.
Sure.
So if you had to tell somebody, you should just be prepared. You can live comfortably, you know, not high on the hog, but comfortably if you have this much monthly income to work with. Do you have range that you like to give people?
Well, I would look at it when we left Seattle, we were paying $3,000 a month for rent. So our total all-in expenses on a monthly basis were probably between $6,000-$7,000 a month, which is high. And we got to the point where the cost of living kept going up and up and up. And we got to the point where we were getting to the no savings, you know, no going on vacations. It was like, we love living where we are
type of thing.
And we're willing to pay for it because we wanted to live in the city. We just loved everything about the Pacific Northwest. But when we started to look at the cost of living in other countries, we soon realized that we were going to be able to save anywhere from 40 to 60% on our monthly expenses. So if you're willing to go to a country with a lower cost of living and you're willing to shop at local markets, you could very easily, you know, as an individual person, get by in between, I would say, $1,500 to $2,000 a month easily. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Nice
so living. You're saying rent, food, medical
all
care,
expenses,
medical insurance. You don't have to consider expenses. That, but
easily. And we stayed at Airbnb. Everything we stay at for the most part has been an Airbnb. And if you were to go and negotiate with a long-term lease or even a short-term lease independently with some people, you'd get a much, much lower rate. So there are places in Mexico, in Ecuador, Peru, Chile, and Argentina that you could probably get a one-bedroom, one-bath type of apartment living arrangement for anywhere between $250 to $500 a month. Mm-hmm. So the cost of living is the big thing that really drove us to explore this. And once we realized that there are certain countries that we definitely want to visit, but they're a higher cost of living. And one of the reasons why we selected South America first, Central and South America first, was that we knew that if we did that, we'd be able to pay off all our debt, which we did. And COVID kind of forced our hand a little bit when we were in Argentina. We were paying $745 a month. And we were only there for 1 month when everything hit. And the owner of the Airbnb said, you can stay here and I'll just charge you what I would normally charge. And it was not according to all the fees you have to pay through Airbnb. So we were paying $450.
Yeah, he was so happy to have a stable renter.
Wow. And we stayed there for 3.5 months longer. So that added to our savings because it was you know, very inexpensive. We couldn't do anything because we couldn't go out. We were limited to only going out 3 times a week to go grocery shopping. That was all we were allowed. So there was no going out and having fun. We were pretty much limited. So our monthly expenses for those 4.5 months were around $700-$800 a month, all in. So that, again, saved a ton of money for us over the course of those 4 months.
So what was the number you gave John earlier for what you were thinking? Two people?
One person.
Comfortable. Oh, one person.
$1,500 to $2,000.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So and that's high.
That would be nice. That would be mm-hmm. really nice.
Yeah, living. Comfortable.
Because you could get by on easily less than $1,000 for an individual. But if you're not looking to scrimp by. So that's one of the things that we've been talking about. And what we want to do is encourage people to look at it not as, well, I can't do it because of my job. My job won't allow me to do it. Well, what about looking at other alternatives for generating income? And the good thing is that you don't necessarily have to be making what you're making in your current job. If you can start a different business, an online type of business, something where you can charge a fee or sell something where you're making money, you don't have to make as much to live in a low cost of living country. And low cost of living doesn't mean poor. It doesn't mean bad. The infrastructure is very sound in every major city.
Right. That there's been so many misconceptions around various areas of Mexico and South America where it's ridiculous because it is very robust infrastructure and very pleasant in so many ways. So just
am I remembering correctly that you both said Mexico City was your favorite?
I loved Mexico City.
Karen loved it. Where we stayed was a big part of it.
Of course. It was a lovely neighborhood. Yeah, nicer neighborhoods. Different neighborhoods.
We were in Roma.
In La Condesa.
La Condesa area is just gorgeous. But one of the great things about that area is huge tree canopy coverage in that area. So you're in the middle of the city and there's trees everywhere. So you don't necessarily get to look up and see the sky, which is very polluted.
That was the
downside.
The only
for me.
Knock for, yeah, for me
big,
too.
Yeah.
Is the pollution, but otherwise
not good,
which is, yeah, significant enough. That's
the
concern,
city is the food is phenomenal.
Oh my goodness. The food.
It's if you like an urban environment, the urban environment is it's a hustle and bustle and it's just,
the music, the culture, the art, everything's just fantastic. But
everywhere we went in Mexico, we loved it. So we had, you know, big thumbs up. We weren't initially planning to go to Mexico, but there were some reasons why we initially was going to delay the trip by 2 or 3 months. But then we said, well, if we're closer to the U.S., let's start off in Mexico. We had some friends that had property that we were able to secure that. And so we wound up spending 3 months in Acamal, which is near Tulum and Playa del Carmen. And then we went to San Miguel de Allende, then Mexico City, then Oaxaca. And then we jumped over after 9 months of that, Mérida as well, and then went down to Ecuador and kind of started the South American leg. But I would say of all the cities that we've been to, I like Lima would probably be one of my favorite cities. It's coastal.
And that was surprising. And so many people were would question that. Like, what? Lima? Even like, what did you get Lima. Out of Lima? Yeah, the city hall.
Were you in the Miraflores neighborhood?
We were one of the two places. Yes.
Yeah, the second one was in Miraflores.
So again, hand selecting neighborhoods. We're pretty strategic about that with our research, picking areas.
But even San Miguel really spoke to us. That was our second location, third location. And we were at that point, we're like, wow, is it going to get better than this? So nice. The people we've made lifelong friends there that we still
wonderful.
Keep in touch with. It's been amazing.
Yeah, truly.
So then if you knew then, before you took this big leap of faith, if you knew then what you know now, would you do anything differently?
Good question. And what I would have done differently is started this sooner. Like literally started this sooner. We could have done it years prior with us already working the way we were remotely and the flexibility we had, we were renting. We could have embarked on this even sooner.
And what has made it easier for us too is we sold everything that we owned. We have a small storage unit in Seattle that has, I think, some memorabilia and artwork and some Christmas ornaments, and that's about it. So we left that, and we don't know if we'll ever
visit our storage unit. We're paying for that every month, which I kind of question if that's necessary. But yeah,
I can relate to that too, because when I went to the Philippines, I went with the idea that I was going, and I didn't have a return plan. I did end up coming home after 4 months, but I sold everything. I gave things away, right. And it was basically down to a closet, and that's what I was left with. And I really wasn't attached to it. You know, when I came
back, that the best feeling? I get so jazzed about this, the minimizing. It just feeds me so much. I love it. Like, I'm always kind of challenging myself, even with the two suitcases, because I do have a little bit of a obsession with textiles and the fabrications and things. So the scarves, the hats, the accessories everywhere we've gone, it's a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
But I'm constantly like, okay, how can I pare this down? Like less, like you get so motivated just to own and move around with less and less and less.
Yeah, and that really has not left me. Like the feeling of how light and free I felt without all of the stuff, I have never forgotten that feeling. So how, we've talked a little bit about this, but how has COVID changed the experience for you?
Wow, it's forced us to be flexible and adaptable. And to
even more so than normal, have to be with this lifestyle anyway, but
And to look at staying in a place for much longer. So we had no anticipation that we were going to be in Bariloche, Argentina for 4.5 months. We were supposed to be there for a
tiny little apartment in a lovely town. Thank goodness for that. A beautiful town and the lake and the mountains and all of that. Yeah.
The smallest apartment that we've stayed at, save for one.
Ironically. It really was the smallest.
And we were there for 4.5 months.
For the longest.
Couldn't leave and, you know, a little stir crazy.
I'm imagining it's limiting your choices because you can't just pick up and go anywhere.
Making the decision about where to go
next and coming here. We knew that getting here, there was no guarantee we'd be able to do anything. We just knew that we could get there in over to Scotland and quarantine for 2 weeks, which was not an issue for us because we knew we'd be here long term. But we then knew that we had 6 months of tourist visa that would allow us to stay in the UK.
So that was comfortable for me. That was a nice chunk of time, where a lot of countries, it's only 3 months. Where, you know, then you have more complicated visa situations. That's part of our formula. I don't know if we explained that, but that, you know, we never stay in a country longer than the tourist time of 3 months. Most countries are 3 months.
Unless we can do the border hop. And
Mexico was different, but for the most part. And that was really appealing that we knew in the UK, which involves, of course, Scotland, England, Wales, and Northern Ireland, that between those, we could be there for the 6 months.
And we've been here for 2.5 months, and we haven't left Edinburgh yet.
Well, yeah, and now we're thinking it's probably not safe or the right time to really do much exploring in England, which we intended to do.
On the rise here.
So that's a reality with COVID.
Restrictions were just added in just last week, so they're kind of clamping down again here.
And some other things that have changed so much has changed, but it's just very interesting being here. And John, did you explain that you had been in Scotland in college? How many years ago? Are we dating you now? Yeah. And doing all the various, you know, the key attractions and that, and then coming back all decades later and it being so quiet. Because it's just, there's not the tourists that you normally would have. No. So I don't know any different. I don't have any context with it. I actually kind of like it because it seems very easy to move around and do things. Where John, you were saying normally this, like where we are right now would be packed.
Especially during the month of August is when they have their big festival, Fringe Festival. It's one of the biggest in the world and highly regarded. And there was nobody here. And the festival shut down. They didn't do anything. They did a couple of things remotely, but it was nothing like what it normally is. And it just is a completely different vibe.
Different vibe, yeah.
Wow. I was in Edinburgh, actually the first trip I ever made out of the United States. And I'd have to do the math to see how long ago. That will definitely date me. But and that trip was to England, Scotland, and Ireland. And so I remember Edinburgh vividly. And I loved, loved, loved Scotland. So have you been able to see any other areas, or are you mostly in Edinburgh?
No, talk about what we have been able to do. And thank goodness that we squeezed these activities in over the last few weeks, because now that's changing. But go ahead, John.
No, we rented a car for three consecutive weekends, and we went up to St. Andrews and went through Pitlochry. And what was it, that town that you loved so much?
Aberfeldy.
So charming.
Just kind of coastal drive and then up through St. Andrews and then back inland. And then we went down to Stirling the next day and just loved Stirling Castle. It was amazing. The next weekend we went south and we went down along the coast and then back up to Loch Lomond and went again, beautiful, and Glencoe and Fort William. And then we did
the highlight, though.
It was amazing. We took a three-day weekend. We're not big planners, so we took a train up to Inverness. And when we got to Inverness, we said, well, we'll rent a car and we'll figure out what we're going to do from here. So we had a couple of options. We rented a car at the airport, asked the guy at the airport, what would you recommend that we do? And he said, do the North Coast 500, which is a loop around northwestern Scotland. There's a big loop, a coastal loop. And it was spectacular. It was,
it was one of the best experiences traveling, certainly, and maybe of my life. Mm-hmm. It was so incredible.
It is worth planning an entire trip around the North Coast 500. Yeah. And we were fortunate, again, because the limited amount of people that are out doing this. And the time that we did it was in late September, so it wasn't too bad. But there were still people out doing it. But if it was during the summer, non-COVID, it would be much more challenging.
Practically
because it was slower,
probably.
And more people out and about. We were very fortunate that we had 3 days of beautiful sunshine, which is a rarity in Scotland this time of year. And we were just very, very fortunate. But I would highly recommend the North Coast 500 to anybody. It is spectacular.
All right. It's on the list.
Right. But something I would stress right now is that we are just so grateful for anything we're able to do in a travel capacity, because, you know, we're very realistic about what's going on with COVID, and we're dealing with very practical restrictions that are impacting us. And what we're able to do, we are just so grateful for it.
Yeah.
You know, and
we don't take it for granted at all.
Yeah.
Well, so let me ask you this question. This next one is going to be a little bit of a loaded question, but well, two parts. First, are you voting in the election over here remotely?
Awesome.
And what's it like being an American overseas right now with what's going on back here in the United States? What's it like for you to be over there watching from afar? And what are people saying that you are meeting in your travels?
Everybody that we met in Mexico, from the second we got into Mexico, they would joke around and say, now you're on the fun side of the wall.
That's true.
Was kind of like the mentality there. And there was a lot of anti-Trump sentiment. And we met quite a few people at the first place that we stayed at that were expats, and they were very much Trump supporters, which creates a very different dynamic when you have people who are older. These were older expats that were set in their ways and created some tension. But I would say that a majority of the people that we have met over the last 2 years keep asking a similar question, which is, what happened to the United States?
Which is so disheartening to hear.
So not just in Mexico, but everywhere that you're traveling.
Every place we've been. Mm-hmm. Every single when we have that chance. One of the questions that they ask almost every single time is, do you like the president?
Right. They want to qualify it first.
Because they don't want to say anything negative if we say, yes, we do. Mm-hmm. But I would say, I can only recall one person in Santiago that we spoke to that was pro-Trump. And he was a conservative in general.
So that conversation ended pretty quickly.
It was a short conversation.
Yeah. You know what, John? I was thinking too, though, when we would meet people and they're asking where we're from, we almost felt like we had to qualify ourselves as far as, well, we're from the United States, but we're not supportive of what's going on in the United States right now politically.
Yeah, it's like there's
like distancing ourselves from that. Yeah, and kind of just making that clear.
Yeah, and that's one of
especially
the
Mexico, because this was you know, we were there in 2018. 2019, when there was all that, you know, fervor about the wall and building the wall and all of that. So, yeah, I felt like we needed to just kind of cover ourselves and let them know that.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're not big fans of that. I would share with people concept. Is that, you know, when you're inside the bubble of the United States and you have this mentality that we're the best country in the world type of thing, and when you spend time outside of the bubble, that's not like a 2-week vacation, and you're spending time with people in other political environments and other economic conditions, you know, that it's you're starting to appreciate where you came from, but you're also starting to look at what has changed so that has become so dramatically different to the point where other nations. And we've met people from all over the world as we've been traveling whose opinion of the United States has changed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've run into that too.
That's so true. Yeah.
In our travels, I've had people say to me, like, what is the obsession with guns in the United States?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know how to answer that question because I don't understand it either.
Right.
But also, like, what's happened over there?
Like, what's happened? Yeah.
And of course, we're trying to figure that out ourselves.
Well, so, we also encountered, one of the things that we encountered when we were in Argentina is we were about 3 weeks into the lockdown, maybe 3 or 4 weeks. And the woman that was living across the hall heard Karen on a telephone call with her boss back in the United States. And she knocked on our door. And fortunately, Karen's boss spoke fluent Spanish. So basically had a conversation and the woman was saying, you shouldn't be here. You're from the United States. You shouldn't be here. You know, basically the mindset that you are one of the big infection countries and you're putting everybody in this building at risk.
She basically targeted us because of it.
Well, it gives you some perspective too, because when you're on the other side of the negativity, you know, usually, you know, there's this perception has been for decades that the U.S. is the best. And, you know, whenever there's a problem, we'll overcome it. Well, we haven't. We've been the worst example possible to the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And that is a poor reflection on the country as a whole. And that's the way people are perceiving it because that's what they're seeing looking from the outside in when we're so used to looking from the inside out. And it just gives you, it's provided us with a completely different perspective.
Yeah. I can imagine it's got to be very interesting. I mean, travel in general changes your perspective. I mean, yeah. I know it certainly has for me, but to be over there, to be outside of the United States right now, watching what's happening from afar and hearing what the rest of the world is saying, that's got to be a very interesting place to be.
We feel fortunate.
Yeah, you follow it enough to be aware and educated about what's happening, but also when we need to, we can kind of get back in our bubble and shut it out. Yeah, turn it off and not be as connected to it. So it's kind of an interesting balance that happens with that.
Well, I would imagine that depending on how things go in the coming next couple of months, there may be more and more.
I know. We are watching. Yes. Very closely. That aspect of it all. Sure.
Yeah. Make sure the apartment next door is available.
The whole building.
Yeah. Right. Well, thank you so much. I really, like I said, I live vicariously through you guys. I enjoy your podcast and it, for everything I hear you say, it sounds like our travel styles are very much alike. So it really is nice to be able to kind of go along with you on your journey. And thank you for taking the time to do this interview with me.
It's been fun.
We were looking forward to it. You know, we just want to encourage people to consider this as an option, because if you start thinking about it, you put the wheels in motion. If your intention is behind, I want to explore this, you'll have a much better chance of realizing the possibilities than if you never give it a second thought.
Well, what's the term we like to use, John?
Planifestation.
I like it. Mm-hmm. Hashtag planifestation. All right. I like it. So is there anything else you want us to know or that you want to share before we wrap up? I do want to say that if anyone's interested, you can follow John and Karen on Instagram, Facebook, and the podcast From Someplace New, SUMPLACE, which is available on all podcast platforms. But is there anything else you want to say before we wrap things up?
I think people who look at this as being like, oh, it must be nice. It is nice. There's no doubt about that. But it is something that has been, the wheels started in motion with that first conversation back in 1995. So it didn't happen overnight. So that doesn't mean that if you want to do it, doesn't mean you have to do it in a matter of weeks. It can be a couple of years, but get the wheels in motion, because it's such a rewarding lifestyle and it's such a rewarding opportunity to do this. And we're going to keep doing it as long as we possibly can.
Yeah. And I think too, if we've learned anything, well, we've learned a lot of things this year, but one of the things is how quickly time is going by. I cannot believe that it's October 2020. So the time is marching on anyway. So if there's something that you want to do regarding this travel lifestyle and it's resonating with you, start putting those wheels in motion and make that happen.
And feel free to reach out to us if anybody in your listening audience has questions. We'd be more than happy to help out.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Always Evolving. Please feel free to share this episode with anyone you think might appreciate it. And if you enjoyed this podcast, let me know by giving me a 5-star rating. Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, keep evolving.
Well, we hope you enjoyed that episode. A nice little walk down memory lane for us. But it also added a little bit more insight. But the key here is that we really do look forward to sharing with you the interviews that we're doing. So we will actually have Erica on as one of our guests in an upcoming episode, talking a little bit more about the traveler mindset, about the explorer mindset, and really what it takes to kind of move from wanting to travel to actually going through the process mentally to prepare yourself for it. So we really look forward to sharing additional information in future episodes. Really excited about doing this format. It's a little bit of a switch for us, but we're learning as we go through the process based on the people that we've talked with. So we really look forward to sharing this information with you as we move forward. So if you like what you heard on this episode, we look forward to bringing more in the future. Please do us a favor, give us a 5-star review, subscribe so that you'll never miss an episode moving forward. And we really do look forward to bringing some really cool new content to you in the coming weeks, months, and years. Look forward to sharing it with you. And until next week, we'll have some brand new content.